A privilege to read further from God's Word as we worship, and this morning the Scripture is from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, will read the last verse of chapter 1 and then the whole of chapter 2. Ruth, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 22 to chapter 2, verse 23. It's on page 260, 261 in your pew Bible. The theme of the sermon this morning is Behold the Loving Kindness of the Lord with Boaz. Hear the word of the Lord. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, Go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servants, whose servant who was in charge of the reapers, Whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. And Boaz said to Ruth, You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, Come here, and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back, and she had been satisfied, after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, He also said to me, You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So far, the scriptures. In response to the preaching, let's sing Psalter 397, 1, 2, 5, and 7. The title of that song is The Greatness and Grace of God, based on Psalm 145. It's beautiful. What is? Well, the way the gospel of God's loving kindness for his struggling and hurting people comes out in the book of Ruth. It is rich. It is heart-stirring. It's marvelous. Indeed, it's overwhelmingly wonderful how this little book of four short chapters can reveal so much good news of endless and eternal significance. What reasons, congregation, to love the Holy Bible? Considering just this little gem, the book of Ruth, as one of the 66 books of the Bible. For this service, we have before us chapter 2 of the book. Chapter 1 tells the story of waywardness from God, and the grief and the sorrow that resulted from that in the family of Elimelech. It's a chapter that reminds us, doesn't it, of the hopelessness in the way of sin. God's word in Ruth chapter 1 is calling us still today. It gives the implicit call to leave the fields of Moab, the ways of the world, and to return to Judah. Yes, to God and to his people, to Bethlehem, the house of bread. So also Naomi and Ruth the Moabitess, they return to Jerusalem, or to Bethlehem. Yes, Ruth too, you know, for the Lord gripped her heart that she discovered true salvation from sin and misery is found in God's ways and not in the world's ways. It's not found either in the man-made religions of this world. Many of you will know Ruth's great confession of faith by God's grace as she determined to stay with Naomi and to follow after her God, the Almighty Lord Jehovah. Orpah, you know, left Naomi and she returned to Moab. But Ruth testifies to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you or to go back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And so the converted Moabitess Ruth, as a young widow, along with poor, older, widowed mother-in-law Naomi, they come empty, with hardly any resources, to Bethlehem. When they come there, however, the famine indeed was past. And as the last verse of chapter 1 states, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Those words suggest some hope, don't they? And then the text tells us nothing about Naomi and Ruth finding a place to live. Perhaps they had just enough money for maybe a few weeks lodging in Bethlehem somewhere. But now what would happen to these two widows? Formerly wayward Naomi, an Israelite woman, with her this heathen woman from Moab, recently converted. As they look to the Lord in their new situation, in this time of great need, even for their physical well-being, how would things go for them? And chapter 2 begins to tell us, congregation, and it's truly a fascinating, heartwarming account. Here we have words that can melt the heart of sinner, and it can encourage the struggling believer, and can rejoice the faithful. May God, the Holy Spirit, so bless his word today. Let us look at the passage under the theme as mentioned, Behold the loving kindness of the Lord with Boaz. And consider with me under this theme, the introduction to Boaz in verse 1. And then secondly, the ways of Boaz, verses 3 to 17. And then lastly, the role of Boaz, hinted at throughout. We will focus especially on our second main point. So the introduction to Boaz, the ways of Boaz, and the role of Boaz. With that first point, don't you agree with me? As you read the story of Ruth and of Naomi come to Bethlehem, then chapter 2 verse 1 seems like just an interruption to the story. It would make perfect sense if after the last verse of chapter 1, that then the second chapter would begin with verse 2, where we are told about Ruth deciding to go out to work in the fields for Naomi and herself. But you have in verse 1 this insertion about Boaz in Bethlehem. We read there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Now, why is that inserted here? Well, the divinely inspired author wants us to realize God's gracious hand in all that further develops in the life of Ruth and Naomi. As these women rely on the Lord God in all their needs, you should realize how gracious and glorious is our Savior God for as many as repent and trust in Him. Great surprises come for God's people in His way. Can you tell of great surprises in your life? In God's ways? Coming across this person, Boaz, at this point, is like a shining ray of bright light in an otherwise sad story so far. And it suggests hope. The fact, too, that this man is a family relative somehow to Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband. And the fact that he's a man of great wealth, obviously, in other words, a man of standing, a nobleman of some sorts, and yes, linked with Naomi indirectly, oh, do you hear and sense it too? This is all meant to give a glimmer of light in a setting that otherwise looks rather discouraging and dark. As you see the future unfold for Ruth and Naomi, keep your attention on this Boaz. For all that further unfolds for good for Ruth and Naomi is very focused on this Boaz, as we shall see. If I may put it this way, dear congregation belonging to Christ, with verse 1 of chapter 2, it's as if God Himself, in holy excitement and joy, with His salvation work for sinners, can't wait to reveal something more of what He would do and will do for His people. Even before we meet with this Boaz, in real history, in the real history of events, therefore, He already gets introduced to us, this first verse. It's like God saying, I will give you a hint now of the surprises that will follow with what I plan to give and provide for my people. I mean, aren't you attracted to this Boaz? Just from the little you hear from him in verse 1? This Boaz is meant, I can say that already, he's meant as a certain foreshadowing and picture of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, come to be the Savior of sinners in fullness of time. Keep that in your mind as we keep going on in this sermon. As dark and as hopeless as our situation, your and my situation, may be as guilty, depraved sinners by nature, and as wayward covenant people too of ourselves, with all the emptiness and bitterness of sin and of life's experiences, as you may also have come across it in life, no doubt, with ourselves and in and of ourselves, maybe even this past week. Listen, just listen. There is someone of God's provision who may give us hope and deliverance and comfort beyond words. He's the greater than Boaz. He's Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. And verse 1 of chapter 2 declares God so desires His people to know Him and to rest in Him and to rejoice in Him, finding in Him all their salvation and help time and again. God delights to lead His people to the Savior, the greater than Boaz. Indeed, God delights to lead His people to the Savior with all our emptiness, with all our needs, with all our struggles. He lowers us that He might raise us, that we might be drawn to Him from our poverty to the fullness found with Him. But yes, I am getting ahead of myself. Let's go to our second main point now. And let's see the Lord God bringing Ruth and then Naomi too, of course, to this Boaz, and how Boaz then relates with Ruth. And again I say, it's just beautiful what is told to us. Ruth, we learn, will go out to glean grain from the fields during the harvest time. We have to understand that her volunteering to do this shows that Naomi must have told her what God's law provided for the Israelites. Both in Leviticus 19 verse 9 and in Deuteronomy 24 verse 19, we learn that God's law states there that farmers in Israel, when harvesting, they should leave the sheaves that get dropped by mistake and should not wholly reap the corners of the field. But it was to be, quote, for the stranger, for the fatherless and the widow. So you see, God had provided a welfare work program so that the needy could be supplied, yet with food. Well, Ruth, she takes advantage of this lawful means still to provide for her and Naomi, both widow ladies now in Bethlehem. Gleaning from the scraps left over was hard work. I compare it maybe to not picking raspberries and getting paid, but after the pickers have picked raspberries, you coming in behind to pick whatever's left over and being allowed to take that home. That's what she could do. It was hard work. And it couldn't amount to much. But every bit would help them, poor as they were. Ruth also saw it as a matter of grace that she would be able to work in some field, gleaning behind the reapers, whatever might have been missed or dropped by them. That kind of law surely wasn't provided in heathen Moab. And then you have these attention-gripping words in the text meant to tell us the very opposite of what they suggest. Verse 3b. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. In the King James, it's translated this way. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, why do you think here the text says it that way? What's the text suggesting here? Was it just a matter of good luck that the very first day Ruth goes gleaning, she ends up in the fields of this Boaz? No, congregation. The whole point of the story now is that was all part of God's gracious providence and leading. She had no clue which field to go into. But the field she happened to go into was the field of Boaz. You know, often in our daily life, we don't know why and how events unfold as they do. But as we go about our responsibilities, God is still working to accomplish His purposes. In my church in Calgary, I have a person who was raised in a heathen home, and his mom got a little girl, and she was a cripple. So he thought, I need to go to church to ask God to help my crippled sister. And by that means, you know what? He became saved. And not only he, but later his wife, and then two of his children now are saved, and their children are in church. Three generations affected because this man felt a need to pray for his crippled sister. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Ruth at the time had no idea what was going on. But do you see how the Lord was shepherding her in tender care beyond words? Leading her by these means to the wonderful Boaz. And again, you see the text is saying, keep your eyes on this Boaz. He's going to be the key to this whole story in a marvelous way. So it wasn't just by chance then either that as she gleaned in the fields that first day, that guess what? Boaz himself came to the fields. I don't think he necessarily came to the fields every day, but that day he did. And there they met.
And likewise, congregation, it isn't just by chance that we meet here today and that we may be in this house of God and that we may be introduced afresh to the greater than Boaz through word and sacrament, thinking also this afternoon. That's God's goodness. When we may end up in the fields of the greater than Boaz and be so provided for, that's the sheer, undeserved loving kindness of the Lord towards us every time again. Is that your personal and family testimony too? Don't you think, looking back, that Ruth and Naomi would so thank the Lord for leading Ruth in the fields of Boaz? By chance, no. By His leading that first day. The chapter itself tells us, Naomi saw God's hand in it. But saying that, let's come to now to the heart of this sermon. For what can be said about this Boaz in whose fields Ruth gleaned? Don't you have to agree with me? He's sure a wonderful gentleman. And he's a gracious man when you read about him. We see it already in the first words of this Boaz that we hear from him. His caring relations with his workers. How kindly he greeted them, and they in turn greeted him most respectfully. This Boaz, we learn, congregation, he was a God-saturated man. He was someone who left a good impact on others. That's what we should be like too, isn't it, as confessing Christians? God-saturated, grace-filled, fruit of the Spirit kind of people. Is that what we are? That the story of Boaz encouraged us in that way. The text tells us how Boaz also showed real care for all working in his field, including the poor, who were the gleaners behind the hired reapers. Thus, from verse 5 to 17, we see this Boaz come into contact, direct contact, with Ruth the Moabitess. And there's so much that can be said about these verses. But focusing now just on Boaz's way with Ruth and the blessed way he dealt with her, notice with me the fullness of blessing Ruth was given by Boaz. For one, Boaz grants and assures her welcome on his fields. Verse 8, don't you go anywhere else even, Ruth, he says, but be sure you are most welcome in my fields to glean as much as you need for as long as the harvest lasts. Isn't our problem too often that we go out of the field of Boaz to other fields? And congregation, isn't this the way the Lord also deals with us? The Lord Jesus says to all who come to Him, coming to me in all your poverty and need, with all your sinfulness and struggles and sorrows, be assured you are most welcome by me. Don't go anywhere else. Draw from me and you will be blessed continually. And secondly, we see Boaz promise and assure Ruth of protection in his fields. Verse 9 and 15. Harvest time was not often the most restrained time. People would often be very lustful in that time. And thinking of it being the time of the judges, remember this book is written around the time of the judges, when almost everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It would be no small comfort for this young woman to be guaranteed protection from harm and abuse by the workers in the field. Boaz had charged all his men, he told her, to make sure not to hurt her or abuse her. But wouldn't this give Ruth, I say, certain sense of security as she went on day by day into the fields, especially also being someone from outside, a foreigner among the people? And isn't this something God also grants His people? Protection from harm and danger. Ultimately, under His watchful eyes. Doesn't Psalm 121 teach us this? And it's a song we love to sing, isn't it? He will guide through dangers all, will not suffer thee to fall. He who saved His people keeps, slumbers not and never sleeps. Boaz grants and assures Ruth of welcome on his fields and protection on his fields. And we see next, He pledges her much provision as well. Indeed, graciously and generously so. Oh, this Boaz, he well respected God's law, allowing strangers and fatherless and widow to glean behind the reapers in his fields. In fact, this Boaz, he doesn't just go by the letter of the law No, Christians don't go just by the letter of the law. But he reaches in love far beyond it. Notice in verse 15, Boaz says to his men, "Let her, this woman Ruth, glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her, or rebuke her, or hold her back." Normally, you see, the gleaners would well keep distance from the reapers. They would be far back in the fields. They would stay distant from the reapers who were busy gathering the first fruits of the land and the bulk of the harvest. You didn't want the gleaners interfering or taking from that general rich harvest. But Ruth, you see here, is given permission by Boaz to glean right with the reapers, gathering the sheaves. Not only that, but did you catch what else Boaz orders to make sure Ruth can glean enough for her mother-in-law, for her and her mother-in-law, Naomi? In verse 16, notice it. Boaz commanded his young men reaping to let grain from the gathered bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. Isn't that special, congregation? The provision Boaz graciously, gladly, generously provides for this Ruth. And thinking now of the greater than Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, does he not provide lavishly out of his abundance to all who come to him? You know it's true, isn't it? God's grace in and through Christ Jesus for undeserving sinners as we are in ourselves, it's always characteristically a matter of abundance and superabundance. You know how one person put it? Quote, "Grace always abounds extravagantly." Grace always abounds extravagantly. Oh, dear congregation, you need to know that is such a correct statement. We have evidence for it also here in our text as we think of Boaz's character in the book of Ruth being a dim foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ and his manner with sinners. Doesn't every Christian experience this too? And come to acknowledge this as well, that with our Savior God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, is plenteous redemption for us. I remember being here years ago and saying, what does plenteous mean? It means lots and lots. And lots, and still more lots. Lots and lots and lots. That's the good news with our Savior God. For all looking to Him to save and to supply you in your needs. Though we oft have sinned against Him, still His love and grace abide. What reasons to be attracted to Boaz, and even more to the greater than Boaz, Jesus Christ, the Savior. The passage goes on and tells us more of Boaz's gracious ways with Ruth. Wonderfully, not only does he pledge her constant welcome with him on his fields and constant protection and abundant provision, but notice he reaches out to her in kind fellowship too. Kind fellowship. Think here of the reference in the last part of verse 9 where she's invited to drink from the water containers the men had filled for the workers laboring in the hot field each day. She, the Moabitess, may drink from the water supply for the men. You can be quite sure that Ruth didn't bring her own water bottle with her. And she couldn't go to the local store to buy one either. No. And then notice even more what Boaz does at lunchtime. On the first day of Ruth gleaning in his fields, he invites her, verse 14 says, he invites her to come up to his table, set up perhaps under some canopy in the field, and she may eat of the bread and dip her morsel in the vinegar, or could be translated in some tasty sauce. In other words, Ruth doesn't just come to the table, but she may be given bread, and she may get tasty bread too. Not just dry bread. And verse 14 stresses, Boaz personally hands over to Ruth some of the parched grain, or you could translate some of the roasted corn. The Hebrew text highlights Boaz with his hand, he gave to her some food as a gracious act of kindness and warm acceptance towards her. Oh, Ruth knows she's from outside the people of Judah. She's a foreigner. She's Ruth the Moabitess, remember? Yet Boaz accepts her in fellowship with his own people. And what is the reason ultimately? Because Boaz knew her as one who sought refuge and shelter under the wings of Jehovah God. Verse 12. Yes, Ruth had confessed and demonstrated this clearly, that she looked to the Lord God of Israel for her refuge in all her needs. It was well known in the community, Boaz says as much, that Ruth was converted to the God of Israel. Especially Ruth's devotion and faithful love and care for her mother-in-law was such an evident demonstration of her true faith in the Lord God of Israel. When you truly love God, you love others. It can't be otherwise. And God here was showing also through this Boaz that those who put their trust in the Lord God, the faithful covenant-keeping God of His people, they will not be put to shame. No, never. And why is that the case, congregation? Well, because ultimately God in and through Christ and His saving work, the gracious person of Jesus the Savior, God delights in mercy in and through Him. So also, in and through Jesus Christ, isn't it true? We have an endless acceptance and fellowship with the Lord in and through Jesus. Let sinners come to the greater than Boaz, the Lord Jesus, and you will find we are reconciled to God through Him, by grace, through faith in Him. We may become part of His body, His people, locally and worldwide. Get caught up with the greater than Boaz, and all frictions with others can't remain. They just can't remain. Does the Lord Jesus not also, from His nail-pierced hands, give us to eat and to drink from out of His fullness of blessing for body and soul, showing thereby His acceptance of us and His desire of fellowship with us for His own name's sake. Oh, wouldn't Ruth so have cherished this kindness of Boaz towards her, especially on this first day of her gleaning on the field somewhere as Ruth the Moabitess? We know she did. And so also when you and I experience it again or for a first time, God's acceptance of us and His desire to fellowship with us, doesn't it sometimes just overwhelm you? That so much grace and love be shown even to a sinner like yourself and myself? What else does Boaz do for Ruth? How else does he bless her? Well, do we not find too that he's such an encouragement to her? Such an encouragement. We find that in verse 10 to 13. Ruth says as much. She can't get over it either. In verse 13, we read Ruth saying to Boaz, "You have comforted me. You have spoken kindly or friendly to your maidservant, though I be not like one of your maidservants." Literally in the Hebrew, the text reads, "You have comforted me and spoken to the heart of your maidservant." Remember, at this point, Ruth knows nothing of how Boaz is actually indirectly related to her. But she just sees and experiences this man, this Boaz, as being so heartily kind and encouraging to her. And she feels so small under his abundant care and loving kindness shown to her. And again, isn't this the way God in Christ is with all His people? God is the God of gracious encouragement in all our distresses and needs, spiritually speaking. With word and sacrament, His desire is to speak to us comfortably. Comfort ye, my people. That's His word. Do you so know God is out to comfort you? He's out to comfort you today. And what a comforter He is. Notice next, in connection with that, what satisfaction also Ruth found with Boaz and his care for her. What satisfaction. We read that in verse 14 and then again in verse 18. She was satisfied. Oh, she was so well provided for. She was realizing this and just so content. Her cup was running over, you see. And this comes out too in verse 17 when we are told how much she gleaned and processed that first day. It was hard work, yes, but it was astonishing how much she gathered. It was what? About an ephah of barley, the text says. To understand, congregation, how much that is, it may be helpful to remember with
the manna in the Israelites received in the wilderness, we read in Exodus 16, verse 16, that there was provided about an omer for every person. And then it says in a later chapter, chapter 16, verse 32, same chapter, verse 36, it says, an omer is one-tenth of an ephah. In other words, Ruth gathered enough grain for almost a whole week for both her and Naomi. It was almost a bushel full, probably around a 40-pound bag of grain for bread. Oh, what abundance with just one day's gleaning. Naomi, when she sees it later on, she says, "Where have you been? You must have been on some field today." She's astonished how much she gained. And then in addition to this, yes, we got to catch this. Ruth had some leftovers from the free lunch provided, you know, by Boaz unexpectedly. Verse 18 says that besides the 40-pound bag of flour for bread, she also had a doggy bag of goodies for Naomi. Yes, leftovers, you know, from a delicious free lunch that day. It had been for her an awesome day. As someone said about a good day, a sprinkles on the cake with icing extra, plus ice cream and caramel sauce kind of day. That's what she had. Was Ruth satisfied or not? She was satisfied. And again, think of it, congregation. Consider how Boaz here is just a dim foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ and His provisions for us, for body and soul. The reality is, coming to the Savior, you find you never need to hunger and thirst for something more or besides, with Jesus Christ as your true satisfaction and peace and contentment in life. The Lord is the God of comfort in every need, in all our tribulation, in all of life's journey, in life and death. Jesus Christ is the greater than Boaz by far. And all who come under His wings, trusting Him alone as Savior and Lord, you will find true and eternal satisfaction with Him. Don't believe the lie of the devil that it's not true. It is true. Endless forgiveness of sin and strength against sin. Everlasting righteousness before God. And the gift of eternal life is found with Christ for you by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. Oh, there is no escape or remedy from the emptiness and the guiltiness and the sinfulness and bitterness and hopelessness and despair of life but with the Lord Jesus. That is the gospel truth. And the book of Ruth, with telling of this Boaz also so much the more, drives home this gospel reality of salvation, rich and free in and through Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, and His saving work on sinners' behalf. Do you see all these parallels with me, congregation? I can't help but think of one more blessing yet that Ruth received in meeting with Boaz. And that is such overwhelming joy and thankfulness. I mean, can't you just see this Ruth the Moabitess walking back home to Naomi after a long day of hard work, hardly able to contain herself? In excitement and joy with the goodness of God and His loving kindness shown to her. And yes, to Naomi too then, that first day. I see Ruth, you see her with me? With a big smile on her face. Under the weight of that barley bag on her shoulders or on her head. And with that doggy bag, you know, in her hand. Oh, she went to work empty. But boy, did she return home full. As the text chapter further tells, Naomi herself just couldn't believe what she saw when Ruth came home after that first day. And even she, bitter Naomi, breaks out in praise to God. Yes, bitter Naomi, we see beginning to become most thankful, Naomi. And it was just beginning. What good and great benefits and blessings God would bestow through this Boaz. And gleaning on his fields, as Ruth just happened to do, no, rather, by God's grace, was led to do. Well, here now, coming to our third main point, and just very briefly here, Consider the role that this Boaz would ultimately take as kinsman redeemer for Naomi and Ruth. You know, I think, how the book of Ruth tells us about this further. You know it. How this Boaz later by marriage to Ruth, he actually takes over all the poverty of Naomi and Ruth. And he gives to them out of all his riches. And Boaz and Ruth, you know, together they become parents of a child who would actually be later the grandfather of King David, from whose line the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah himself, would be born one day. It's all just a marvelous, most marvelous gospel story. And it's awesome the way this Boaz is a foreshadowing of Christ and how it all can shed so much light on who the Lord Jesus is for his people, for those who repent of sin and trust in him, just like Ruth did. You know, when you get depressed or discouraged, when you're tempted and tried, as we often can be, then why not pick up this little book of Ruth and read it? And read it again. It doesn't take long, and it's full of good news. Really good news, indeed. For now, let us realize God has brought us into the harvest fields of this greater than Boaz. And the greater than Boaz in church here this morning has come to be in our midst through his word. Also through this sermon, the Lord Jesus is out to show us what a Boaz-like Savior he will be for us. And all at his own expense. Yes, to the point even of him giving his life for us sinners. And then rising again from the dead to be the sure and perfect Savior for now and forever. The book of Ruth's congregation proclaims the wings of God in Christ Jesus are so wide and so warm. Even for the chief of sinners among God's covenant people who have gone far astray. And for those Moabites and heathens, whoever comes to him. Is there anyone here who doesn't want to meet, who doesn't need to meet with Boaz? That is, greater than Boaz, Jesus Christ the Lord. What sin if by chance, no, by God's kind providence, the Lord brings you into the fields of Boaz, but you won't have anything to do with him? Could that be for anyone here? Oh, come to the Savior and make no delay. For with him is splendid, yes, plenteous redemption. So much so that you find with him endless welcome and protection and provision and fellowship and encouragement and satisfaction and joy. Yes, with him. Behold the loving kindness of the Lord with Boaz. Oh, don't you agree with me, dear congregation belonging to Christ? Nothing can compare with living, working, and worshiping in the fields of Boaz. That is the greater than Boaz. And God help us and equip us and stir us up to show this to others and to let them know, to know this as well. Also those starving and perishing still in the fields of Moab all around us. Who will you show and share at least your doggy bag of God's overflowing goodness with today and with each other and to those around us? Or don't you have a doggy bag of God's goodness in your life? Amen.